Welcome once again to Landmarks for Living. This is Richard Melson, evangelist at the Needmore Road Church of Christ. This is a radio ministry where every listener is encouraged to not only read but study their Bible daily, according to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. God is indeed concerned what you think. God is indeed concerned what you do. Today is August the 10th. We're so thankful to God that we have another opportunity to come into your homes, to come into your cars, or wherever it is that you might be listening to us on this Sunday morning. Please check out our website at www.needmoreroadcoc.com. That's Needmore Road, spelled out Needmoreroadcoc.com. There you'll find past broadcasts of Landmarks for Living archived. Past issues of the Edifier newsletter are available. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. You know, let me make this point. You may also, when you subscribe, when you pull down our Edifier newsletter, you'll find a QR code. You can scan that QR code and then have our newsletters sent to you weekly. As they are produced, they'll come out and you'll have them by Saturday of each week for the following Sunday. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. You've not done so, just need to subscribe one time. We would love for you to visit with us on Sundays at 2211 Needmore Road. We are across the street from the Waffle House. For a way to identify us, we are we're half a block west of Payne on Needmore, just west of I-75. At 2211 Needmore Road, Bible study 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and afternoon worship at 5 p.m. We assemble also on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for midweek service, and we are in our summer series in the study of the book of Romans, The Righteousness of God Revealed. And we would love for you to come and study with us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. I appreciate everyone who listens to Landmarks for Living each Sunday morning on 98.7 FM, also WGNZ AM 1110 and FM 104.3, or by streaming online at thesoulofdayton.com and WGNZ.com. Friends, since the start of this program, the emphasis has not changed. It is to teach only that which is authorized by God in the Bible. If you have a question about anything that is taught during our broadcast, please write to us so that we can supply a Bible answer to your Bible question. You may write to us at Landmarks for Living, care of the Needmore Road Church of Christ, 2211 Needmore Road, Dayton, Ohio, 45414. Or you may email me at dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. Love, the Bible is the only approved standard for authority today in all matters of morality, ethics, and religion, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, do not move nor remove the divine landmarks. We dare not step outside the sphere of divine authority and then try to pretend that we are walking by faith. For faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. Keep this in mind, that the way we treat the scriptures, the Bible, God's word, is the way we treat the Lord. Dayton, are you listening? I hope that you've learned from our earlier studies that the scriptures are the complete, sufficient, error-free source of truth. As such, Jehovah issued forth warnings in both the Old and the New Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 and Revelation chapter 22 verses 18 and 19, not to add to nor take away from God's word. God's word is all the truth necessary for the genuine spiritual life. and it completely meets all the spiritual needs of mankind. Tatan, are you listening? You know, as we look at the calendar, I said, this is now August the 10th, and we are in the start of young people returning to school. Some districts have already started. They started as early as August the 4th. And this week, a number of other school districts that are part of our broadcast area are starting school. Emerson Academies, Greene County Career Center, Miamisburg City Schools, Horizon Science Academy, Northridge Schools, Pathway School of Discovery, and Trotwood Madison City Schools, they all start on August 11th. August the 12th, Dayton City Schools have a staggered start. Dayton Leadership Academies, DECA Prep, and Jefferson Township local schools will have their start. August the 13th, a long list including Centerville, Northmont, Oakwood, Greenville Local. All of those are right in our area. Bishop Leibold, Dayton Christian School, Dayton Regional STEM School, Gem City Career Prep High School, all have their Richard Allen Prep. These all have their start August the 13th. There are others that will start August the 14th. And so it's back to school time. And I want us to think about that subject of back to school, preparing our children in a faithless society. What do we need to do? You know, people are concerned. They want to put together backpacks with pencils and paper and pens and all of those things. And those things are good. Students need to have those kind of educational supplies that will help them as they go back to school and as they begin to do their studies and to look at their educational pursuits. But parents, we have a greater responsibility. And first, as our children are preparing to go back to school, I suggest, parents, that we teach our children that there is a God. We must teach our children that there is a God. The Old Testament lays this principle out for us in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Moses, in telling the children of Israel, even though we don't live under this Old Testament law, there are things that are contained therein, according to the New Testament, Romans 15, verse 4, that whatever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through the comfort and patience of the scripture might have hope. And so one principle that we glean here is that we must learn to teach our children that there is a God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses said, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land in which you are crossing over to possess. That you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates." Moses told the children of Israel, and the principle is still applicable today for us, in that we must teach our children that there is a God. that God is and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. The psalmist has declared in Psalm 14 and verse number 1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good." The one who denies the existence of God is an individual who lacks sense. Parents, as we send our children back to school, whether you're sending them to public school or private school, still they need to go with an understanding and with a knowledge that there is a God. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, Paul says to the church at Ephesus, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Parents, we must teach our children that there is a God. Solomon, in the long ago, reminded everyone as he looked back at his life and had all that he had been blessed with, and he said at the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, for this is the whole duty of man." One must understand that God is, and we need to have the proper respect, the proper fear for him. And so the Hebrew writer would then tell us in Hebrews chapter 11, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is," that God is, that God exists, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So again, parents, we would emphasize and we say to you, the first thing to do as you are preparing your children to go back to school is to teach your children there is a God. Second, parents, as your children are getting ready to go back to school, not only do we teach our children that there is a God and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him, that he is cognizant of all that is that we do, we must teach our children to reason, to think critically. We must teach our children how to logically reason, and this will serve them all of their lives. You know, the Bible says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We must learn to think rightly. The Bible tells us to search the scriptures daily, to be able to reason, to discern, to make sure that we know how to choose between right and wrong. For example, when children are asked as to why they believe in the existence of God, our youngsters should be able to call attention to, without having to use all the scientific terms, nothing else, the law of cause and effect. That is, wherever there is an effect, the effect in this case would be the universe, there must be an adequate cause. Matter is not sufficient to explain itself. There is no known process by which matter can create itself. Thus, one must look for a non-material origin of the universe. The universe just did not come into being because it thought itself into existence. You know, children can be taught early and drilled with information concerning the fact that where there is design, there must be a designer. If the universe bears the marks of order and design, and it surely does, then it must have a grand designer. Everyone can look out and we observe that there is design and order to the universe. We know this because we teach our children how to tell time. We tell them, we observe how many hours there are in a day. The rising of the sun, it comes up in the same direction and it sets in the same direction. And we realize that this accounts for a day. The earth spinning on its axis. This is design. And we must teach our children then to reason that if we have this great order to the universe, which they can observe themselves, then there must be a desire. You know, the entire realm of nature is a classroom for teaching these principles and teaching our children to reason. Isaiah said, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord." God has made us the kind of a being who thinks, who reasons, who examines the information and comes to conclusions that should be warranted by the evidence. But not only must we teach our children to reason, but we need to teach our children their origin. Now, when I say origin, I'm not talking about what continent they're from or their ancestry. That has some importance and some validity to it. But from the time that our children are able to sit up and watch TV, they are brainwashed with the false ideas of evolution or macroevolution. They are taught that evolution from their earliest days, watching these PBS or these humanistic programs that have been out there, and parents have unwittingly set their children down in front of these things to be indoctrinated with evolution through their toys, through their cartoons, through t-shirts, all of these things and more, and even more. You know, witness the dinosaur mania and the common propaganda line that the dinosaurs lived many millions and millions of years before man arrived on Earth. Well, you know, the first thing, who said that the Earth is that old to begin with? People, you know, just someone making this statement that, oh, it happened millions and millions of years ago, and kids just repeat that same lie. It is not enough to simply say evolution is wrong. We must give them, meaning our children, solid factual data that expose the fallacy of the evolutionary arguments. For example, expose the false reasoning that simply because the human hand resembles the hand of a chimpanzee, or vice versa, that the hand of the chimpanzee resembles the human hand, this must indicate that we are related to the chimp. No. Similarities can easily indicate a common designer, namely Almighty God. But man is different from the animal world. The Bible points out that there's different kinds of flesh. There's the flesh of a human, there's the flesh of animals, but we are different. Man has been given something that the animal world was never given. You know, in the book of Genesis, we learn an important principle early on if we pay attention to God's word. In Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says, starting in verse 15, "Then the Lord God took the man," and this is speaking of Adam, "and put him in the garden of Eden to tend it, to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." Verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. See, in the beginning, when God created, he wanted Adam to realize that you look at all those animals out there, you look at the chimpanzee, you named that animal the chimpanzee, but it's not comparable to you. And the Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed it up and in its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to him. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And so teach your children to make sure that we know our origin, that man was created by God, and then God set in motion the law of procreation, marriage, and from marriage of a man and a woman come children. We must teach our children as they head back to school to love the Word of God, to love the Bible. The Bible and the scriptures that is contained therein were written by people whom Jehovah directed to reveal his message. The Bible's instruction must be diligently sought and its authority respected. Parents, we must introduce to our children and into their thinking arguments like the phenomenal unity that is characteristic of the biblical documents. Here we have 66 books written by 40 men over a period of 1600 years. Now, this argument will not carry much weight, however, unless our children know the basic message of each of the 66 books of this sacred volume. They need to know the basic message of the entire Bible. It is the story of God's love revealed in the Christ. And we must show that here the Bible is just simply explaining how God had worked his plan of redemption for man, which he started before the foundation of the world, 1 Peter chapter 1. We must show that predictive prophecy, history revealed in advance, is testimony to the divine origin of the Bible. Since only God knows the future, if the Bible gives evidence that its writer spoke of future events, which they could not possibly have known by natural insight, that will constitute support for its heavenly origin. Friends, we must expose our children to the exciting discoveries in the field of archaeology, which strengthen our faith in the reliability of God's holy word. The spade does not destroy the Bible. The spade is constantly providing factual evidence that the scriptures are indeed what they claim. And so we're thankful to God for these various things that are happening in the world so that we can have continued confidence in God's word. And whether or not an archaeologist never discovers any other thing, we must love to love the Word of God. The psalmist declares in Psalm 119, and parents, we need to be familiar with these things and read God's Word to our children daily. Listen to the psalmist says in Psalm over and over again, how he loves God's word. In Psalm 119, the psalmist says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." And then he says in Psalm 119, verse 47, "I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love." In Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Earlier, the psalmist said, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. We need to show how we love God's word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Psalm 119, verse 162 and 163. We must teach our children to love God's word. We must love the Bible. Back to school. So let me give you, by way as we conclude, parents, four practical suggestions. Number one, moms and dads and grandparents and uncles and aunts, all of you guardians who have influence over children that will be going back to school, you must yourself be convicted. The same things that we just talked about, you must be convicted. Because if you do not believe that God is, if you do not believe what the Bible says about our origins, if you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you do not believe the scriptures are the inspired word of God, then you're going to have a very difficult time in teaching those things to your children. Second, not only must you be convicted, you must be prepared. You need to do your homework. You need to study the Bible daily, search the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. Let your children see you studying God's word. You need to be communicating, speaking to your children daily about these things, just as Moses taught the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. We need to be communicating daily to our children God's truth, walking in the light as he is in the light, 1 John chapter 1. And finally, we need to be knowledgeable ourselves. We need to know God's word. Day 10, are you listening? Beloved, it does matter what you think. Beloved, it does matter how you think. God has provided the means of man's redemption. If we can help you to become obedient to God's plan of salvation, please reach out to us so that we might be able to help you to understand what God has commanded of us to do in order to be saved.